This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And welcome to the game where we try to take the best of the worst and turn it into the worst of the best, or something like that. Anyway, we give ourselves just 10 short minutes in which to turn some of the worst ideas we can find on the internet into the pitches for good movies or good books or good comic books or good whatevers. Zach, Sarah, how are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Doing good.
Well, let's see if we can change
Ruin
that. Let's see if we can come this day, make this day come crashing down with our first bad idea of the day. And guys, you know, normally I spend a good portion of my week looking through various news sites for bad ideas, just kind of combing through the internet, varying it up, going to different sources. But this week I said, forget about it. I'm just going to go straight to the source. I'm going to go for the mother load. I am going once again to reddit.com's Am I the Asshole subreddit, where all of the bad ideas come to play.
It's true.
Woohoo.
So let's jump into the text that we're going to be adapting today. And dear listeners, if anyone would like to read along, there's going to be a link to this, not article, but Reddit post in the episode description. So the headline reads, Am I the Asshole for Pretending to Be an Appletarian?
Oh, God, I think I know where this is going. And the answer is yes.
So
I'm scared now.
The text begins. I got the idea a few weeks ago to prank my friends by pretending to be, quote unquote, an Appletarian, meaning somebody who only eats food products that are derived from apples and would only drink apple juice or apple cider. I told them all that I had read on the internet that eating only apples was the healthiest thing for you. When I first told them, they thought I was joking, but they underestimated how committed I would be to a joke. So, whenever in the presence of one of my friends, or friends of friends, coworkers, etc., anyone who knew them, I was very careful to only be seen eating apples or drinking apple juice or cider. Apples whole, apples diced, applesauce, the inside of an apple pie, baked apples, candy apples with the chocolate shaved off, etc. Finally, after about a week, they bought that I had become an Appletarian. They started giving me information about how unhealthy it was to only eat apples and growing increasingly exasperated by it. Some of them even got angry, but I wanted to stick with the joke. Finally, after the end of 3 weeks, I walked into what I was told was a movie night. It was actually an intervention for me. They were all super concerned about my well-being and had all sorts of information or whatever. Finally, I started laughing hysterically. They were confused as hell, so I told them that I had been faking it the whole time and had been eating real meals outside their knowledge. I even took out some beef jerky from my pant pocket to prove it and munched on it.
Dangerous to have that in public.
I know. I thought they'd appreciate the joke, but they were actually really, really annoyed. My girlfriend even broke up with me over this.
Holy shit.
Because a few days ago, I had ruined our date night when I told the waiter I only wanted apples because I was an Appletarian and had, quote, embarrassed her for a dumb joke. In my opinion, though, the joke was solid, and they should appreciate my commitment to the prank. But did I go too far? And so I ask you, the good people of Reddit, am I the asshole?
Okay. Yes. Yes. Yes, you went too far.
One moment, Sarah. Let me start this 10-minute timer. Okay, continue.
I have to say, Like, the reveal of information in this story is phenomenal because, mm-hmm. like, the I even didn't tell my girlfriend slips in right at the end. And so my yeah. picture of who this oh, person yeah. was and who they were fooling was completely upended.
Right, right, right. Because, you know, like, if they're pranking like two or three of their friends and just like really work, committing, whatever. That's one thing. Yeah. But this is different.
This is and it seems like everyone in his life.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Wow. Well, that's fascinating. The commitment to the bit that could be going to many other things in the world and solving problems.
The effort could have gone to so many other
things.
So many other things.
Yeah, it's really next level.
But it is next level, and you do have to respect that. You have to shout that out.
But was the joke solid? Like, I think we need to engage him at his level. Was the joke solid?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. No, it was a poor man's spoof on the late Steve Jobs, who was, for a brief time, a fruititarian. Which is a thing. Mm. There are festivals for this thing.
I would believe that.
But at least with fruits, you're getting a variety of different fruits.
Yes, they include apples.
But it's not just apples.
But it's not apple specific. Correct. Yeah.
However, I believe that a potential character is emerging in my brain, courtesy of the prop comic Carrot Top.
Oh, excellent.
Okay.
And I'm just imagining somebody with his aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And stage name, taking advantage of the, let's just say, incentivization of extremity in today's social media ecosystem / series of echo chambers. And and thus creates caritarianism on TikTok, say, where they are excited to potentially drive more ticket sales to their, let's say, bad act. And they do so by inventing this fake thing that they have a hypothesis will go viral and does, but all for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
And wait a minute. Yes. But are they actually only eating carrots, or like as soon as the video gets turned off, they turn around and have a steak?
Debatable. I think probably at first that's where it is, but it could be the case that they end up becoming sort of the head of, you know, an international like 501c3 nonprofit caritarianism where they're
right.
Like,
it's a cult leader who right. gets too far into the cult and actually starts believing the dogma.
Okay.
Kind
okay.
of a vibe.
Right. And like whether or not like I think there may be something funny to like a stand-up comic who becomes inadvertently a diet cult leader mm-hmm. who then has to subscribe to the thing at risk of being like tarred and feathered
by their own followers.
Their carrot acolytes.
Yes, indeed. Okay, I dig it.
What drives them to start this? Like, what starts the pebble rolling down the mountain?
I mean, if we're running with this, like, they're trying to get attention, probably they see people doing, like, a juice fast, and they're like, hold my beer. Like, mm-hmm. if this is going viral on the internet, just wait till they get a hold of I only eat carrots.
Or it could be, I like that idea, and just to propose a slight alternative, there's, like, a juicing craze that takes the internet by storm. And this person is like, this is so stupid. I'm going to make fun of it. Mm-hmm. But because irony is dead, people take the bit too seriously. And suddenly there's a real caritarianism craze sweeping the nation. And this person is sort of then tempted by the fame and money that would come along with it if they puncture the fantasy, or, you know, telling basically like holding an intervention for everyone who believes in this, but losing out on all of the sweet money and deals and stuff that would go with it.
I think that what I need in order for kind of some of this to like close, for the circle to kind of like loop back in itself, is like, he's kind of in this place where he's been throwing everything at the internet wall and seeing what sticks. Like, he's tried to basically start the Ice Bucket Challenge Part 2 50 times, and none of it has worked. And so it's kind of one of these, like, oh, sure, I guess this is what I'll try this week. Just because, like, it seems like such a, like, kind of contrived low effort thing in certain mm-hmm. ways that I feel that he needs to kind of be in this place where like a lot of the people that do know him would just kind of be like, oh, okay, is this a new thing that you're trying out? Like, it needs to kind of be like a real surprise that this is the thing, this is the fad of his that really takes off. And he can kind of even be like, but all the other ones were so much better.
Yeah, I'm into that. Then there's a conflict of, does he ride this into the ground or try and sort of use the fame to keep innovating? And it's, you know, then it's a question of like Bob Dylan getting up on stage to play like
Carrots in the Wind.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, people don't want to hear it. He's the Carrotarian guy now. And so how does he escape from that?
And I think this is actually a good question that kind of just got answered, because I was like, how famous is very famous? Like, is he kind of, you know, TikTok famous? Does he get like a million views on Instagram? Or is like, you know, Bob Dylan talking about him and like, you know, the new, like, you know, is he basically like a new Beatle all of a sudden?
I think he's like Get on the View famous. I think he's like morning television famous is where right. I would go with it.
Of as just seen like, on his website, right?
Yes, exactly.
Sure.
Of like, you know, he's not a movie star because the licensing deals are still going through. It's going to take a while. It's a process. But he, you know, has been on Good Morning America and all of the like talk shows. And like he is now sort of part of the news cycle is what my instinct is for this.
Cool. I think that makes sense. But then well, how does it start to go wrong? Like, what's kind of the problem that emerges?
It's really unhealthy and it makes people sick.
Right.
So like the first problem is kind of like some of his fans start to end up having to go to the hospital.
Yes. Although if we want to avoid this for real world resonance reasons, that's also OK. And we can find a different problem.
Yeah. Like I think maybe we can get there later. I think the first problem is that his the couch, the living room in which he sleeps on the couch of his friend's place, because he's a broke artist, becomes overwhelmed with people seeking out the Carrot Truth. And so he's got to like upgrade and basically makes like a, you know, a Carrot Center and just like, you know, ends up.
It.
Yeah. Right. Ends up with like sort of the yoga studio juice bar of like Carrotarianism, like the cult headquarters, basically.
And this is actually, though, OK, I want to unpack that a little bit more, because I guess, geez, something that I'm learning is that I guess that there's a possibility of like some cults that are like outwards focused than inwards focused, because if all that he's saying is kind of, you know, only eat carrots, they're the best for you, he's kind of done. Like at that point, he has nothing else to teach his disciples. The truth has been handed down. So there needs to be some aspect if people are seeking him out that is like, you know,
there's like secrets, there's levels.
Yeah,
to this.
Like this is mystery 1 of 50 of the Carrot scriptures. But tune back in tomorrow for, you know, more Carrot wisdom.
Right.
So,
and, you know, how do you apply Carrot
free?
Wisdom to your everyday life? There's endless applications covered.
Right.
Well, and also the secret of who built the food pyramid, which is obviously counter programming to the truth of Carrot totality.
Yeah, no, that's the Bavarian
Illuminati.
I like it.
So, yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, if he like advertises that as like this is going to be a 50 video series and like 1 through 10, boy, I'm getting some real traction. 10 through 20 are like, boy, I am blowing up. I'm going to The View. Can you believe that I'm making this shit up like every day? Like, it's unbelievable what people will buy. And then 20 to 30 is when it starts to take a turn into like, okay, this got scary. People are maybe taking this a little too seriously.
And that's around when you start getting copycats who are building off of his ideas and taking them in more radical directions.
Right. With orange Guy Fawkes masks and everything.
Yes, indeed.
And that is a terrifying, terrifying image in which we have to leave the story because the 10 minutes are up, sadly.
Wow. Excellent.
What a delightful way for society to collapse. Amazing.
Something was going to have to do it sooner or later. I think we all knew that Carrot Top was going to be involved.
Look, we all knew the storm was coming. Q told us. What we didn't know is that it would be filled with carrots.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty hungry, so I'm going to go get a snack, and then let's be back to do some more No Bad Ideas right after this.
Hello there, Zach Valenti, jumping into this episode with this brief reminder that we have an active Patreon page to support the production of No Bad Ideas and all the other crazy worlds we're building behind the scenes. To check that out, scope the sweet rewards we offer for monthly subscriptions, as well as how to sign up yourself. Head on over to NoBadIdeasPodcast.com/support. Once more, that's NoBadIdeasPodcast.com/support. If you already support the show, we so appreciate that. And regardless, thank you for listening. All right, let's get back to more No Bad Ideas.
And we're back, well-fed, with a balanced diet of not only
very
carrots.
Healthy.
No, just apples, Zach. I'm an appletarian now. Only apples. I am serious. Wink, wink, blinkety, blink, wink, blink.
Well, I have a place for you to bring your new apple habit, Gabrielle.
Uh-huh.
Bring both of you to the garden via insider.com. The headline reads, a free living commune in Tennessee used TikTok to attract new members, but the strategy may have backfired.
Okay.
Is that like a libertarian thing?
This is some Nine Perfect Strangers bullshit. I'm calling it now.
Oh, we're going to get into it.
Okay. I don't know if I want to get into it, Zach. I'm kind of scared.
In January, users scrolling through TikTok started to notice videos inviting them to join a commune on their For You pages. Half a dozen accounts featuring a red-headed Brit, a man with a teardrop tattoo, and a woman with a mat of dreadlocks calmly invited strangers to visit 8967 Galen Road in Lafayette, Tennessee. Quote, you're welcome to come at any time and leave at any time, one of the TikTok users Tree is Alive said in a video that has been watched 500,000 times.
Usually that's standard.
I've heard I heard this thing about being able to check out anytime that I wanted and there being a sizable caveat about whether I could actually leave or not.
I think it was a radio play, Gabrielle.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep going.
These short videos offer a snapshot of life at the Garden, a community devoted to a, quote, low impact lifestyle that composts and recycles everything on site. While the TikTok posts were meant to attract like-minded, ecologically friendly users, hundreds of thousands of digital bystanders were served the videos by TikTok's algorithm. The unexpected attention threw the community into disarray. While some viewers have accepted the invitation and visited, others have questioned the commune's motives, labeling the garden a cult.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the garden's inhabitants say they are facing harassment and are fearful of legal intervention. The 21.5-acre plot of land located near the border of Tennessee and Kentucky has been providing off-the-grid housing to those tired of the outside world, dubbed, quote, Babylon by its inhabitants, for the past 12 years. The garden website describes the area as a, quote, a place to sprout, bloom and grow in harmony with nature, with a purpose as a network of mutual aid and a hub where traveling people and caravan communities can collaborate at. The collective was started by Patrick Martian as a part of
really?
The M-A-R-T-I-O-N. Martian.
Isn't that God?
Fine.
As a part of the Rainbow Gathering Movement, a congregation of people who assemble for weeks at a time to live in remote places. The garden was officially named Shut Up and Grow It, with a message of living off the land and off the grid. This appealed to, quote, addicts and people without anywhere to stay, Martian said in an interview on YouTube. Quote, I had a vision where we'd get this land and I'd put it out there on the internet and let people know what we were planning on doing and that people would flock to it, Martian said in the video. A public Facebook group created in 2015 and blog posts from 2016 showed life on the commune and invited others to visit. Since the beginning, they have published their address online. According to records, Martian purchased the plot of land in 2009 for $52,500 and is the sole owner of the property. He has paid $80 a year in taxes on the land since 2015, and Martian did not respond to a request for comment. Over the years, a rotating group of wanderers and eco-friendly visitors have come to stay. When 60 people stayed for 2 months, Martian said in a YouTube video that it put, quote, a strain on our water system and outhouse. He says, at times, the group size approached 100 members. Over the past decade, Martian has recruited others to come through Facebook and blog posts. The TikTok videos show the compound's buildings and landscape, which are constantly evolving with new structures as residents with different interests and needs pass through. There's a barn for gatherings, compost toilets, and a showering hut, an office building, a kitchen, a chicken coop, a greenhouse, and a schoolhouse on site. For lodging, cabins or recycled buses are available. One of the oldest structures is a library full of old books and magazines. Chores like building, farming, and taking care of the animals are divided up among those who stay there. All the food is grown on site, with every member eating mostly vegan, not only carrots or apples, with the goal being to live off of the land in ecologically sustainable community. To discuss issues on the collective, the garden has established a committee that meets every Wednesday and Sunday. When new people show up, they can stay for 10 days before needing council approval for a longer stay. Anyone who has stayed at the garden for over 2 weeks can ask anyone new to leave. According to a 2018 Facebook post from Martian, the rules were created to, quote, help build a sustainable alternative to the mainstream society by living simply, cooperating to provide our own necessities, and contributing to the minimization of the need for money. Outreach on TikTok appears to be working. Rel Gumson, a member of the garden who spoke with Insider, said about 40 people had shown up after seeing it on the app, with 10 to 20 people having prolonged stays. She said there were currently only 30 people in the commune. So this article goes on to explain exactly the ways in which TikTok has put this thing on the map, both from growing the number of people that show up to the army of people that basically spent most of their weeks calling them out and calling attention to problems, such nice, as one account nice. That reported one of the users to immigrations for being an illegal immigrant, to another
lovely
calling out an incident where a cat was shot, skinned, and eaten.
What?
By a user that lives in the commune. Apparently, they come from a place where that is more normal,
but that is something that like the user did, not something that was like encouraged by the commune.
Well, no, I think basically the cat was like they were trying to trap it. It may have been feral and causing a problem with their livestock or something. And
I see.
They put an end to it and then would not let it go to waste. Let's say
understood.
Much to the shock and horror of most of the rest of the internet. And so, so basically they have, as a result, kind of slowed down their role and shut down a lot of their outward facing stuff and are not accepting new members as readily, but also have doxed themselves effectively with their publicly listed address that they can't easily change except for moving to a new property. With that, I'm going to put 10 minutes on the clock for both of you.
Wow.
And the first thing that comes to mind just hearing all of that is like, why does the word hut make whatever it's describing sounds more sketchy? Like, you know, just call it like the bathroom. You don't need to call it the shower hut. Like that just makes it sound so much less together and working.
Yeah, outdoor shower conveys the meaning.
Outdoor shower sounds like something that you find at a luxury resort amongst many amenities. Shower hut sounds like something that you find in like a movie where someone is incarcerated in a like terrible alien jail.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, well, there's Jabba, so that's there's some baggage there.
Yeah, and I mean, like the other thing is just like, I think that like the best thing to possibly come out of this is just the feature film adaptation of Hotel California. I think that this is more than anything else that is what rings bells here.
Yeah, I kind of want to move it into like a sci-fi or a fantasy space too, because I think the real world version of this is super messy And seems like a lot of good intentions gone wrong.
Yeah, you kind of need to like simplify it a little bit. Yeah, like, I think that like the villain needs to be more clearly a villain.
Exactly.
The people need to be more clearly, you know, either flawed or heroic, whichever one it is. Yeah, this is kind of like a very messy, complicated situation.
Yes.
So if we kind of need the like, what is the snappy can be described in the back of the VHS box version of the plot here.
And I mean, it could be like evil corporation, because that's our go-to. Lures people to, you know, an oasis under false pretenses, and they end up in sort of like it's an Iceland Greenland situation where like they think they're headed to this sort of garden utopia, and it's actually just a bunch of rocks and life is really hard, and they have to figure out either a way to escape or to make this community actually what it was billed as.
I have a pitch. Okay. Okay, so the easiest stand-in is Google. But, you know, like, imagine a world where there, like, it's like ours. There's a product that is like Google, something that is very well used, something that, in fact, is nowadays pretty much essential for daily life.
Right.
And one day, the CEO of Schmoogle, or whatever we're calling this company, he kind of announces...
Not calling it Schmoogle, but continue.
So Schmoogle, which I am now 100% committed to.
It hurts my stomach every time.
No, like, you know, like Searchwise or, I think that's from a John Finnemore joke. So credit to John Finnemore for Searchwise, which is a great Google stand-in. Mm-hmm. The CEO of this company announces, I've bought this plot in the middle of like the Arizona desert, and I'm turning it into a high-tech city for all of the engineers of my company. And everyone actually that works in the company, we're all going to live there. It's going to be a city of this company. And then once people do move there, it's basically like the gate closes and the people that work for this company, they never come back out. They stop going out for vacations. And it sort of becomes this like closed off city and nobody knows what happens there. But the product keeps fucking working. Like the product continues to not only exist, but it gets even better. It becomes more dependent. And so finally, someone is like, I'm going to send my investigative reporter to try to infiltrate the city and find out what is it that is happening in Googletopia or whatever the city is called. And so the movie follows this like investigative reporter as they try to kind of first convince the guards that, or actually get hired. I think it would need to be, they would need to kind of infiltrate the machine.
Right. They get the job.
And you know what happens though? They get the job and they think that they're in. And as soon as they get in there, the city is fucking Minas Tirith. There's seven layers. There's walls within the city.
Oh my God.
And so they can only find out what happens in the outer layer, and no decisions are getting fucking made in the outer layer. So they're like, fuck, I need to go deeper. I need to get promoted more. And a big brainwashing company is really fucking good at? Brainwashing you. And so, you know, every time that they get inner and inner, they are sort of, you know, like, their resolve is starting to crack a little bit. They're getting a little bit more brainwashed. They're doing more things. They're crossing more lines than they thought that they would. Because, of course, once you get in deeper, there's all of these like tests of character. There's all these like, you know, if you really want to be a like level 3 engineer, we need to know that you're committed. We need to know that you are serious. We are looking for people who will consider this their family. And you know what's the thing about family? Family's forever.
Forever, baby. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I'm getting some real Prisoner vibes here.
Yeah.
Oh,
100%.
The Prisoner being the sci-fi classic from 60s, 70s?
60s, I believe.
60s,
Patrick McGowan. Yeah.
And yeah, and absolutely. And I think that like whereas the outer ring of the city, like the sort of outermost layer, looks like a souped up version of like Palo Alto, like, you know, pretty recognizable, if perhaps like a little teched up. By the time that you get to the inner ring, it is very like, you know, crazy and abstract.
Yeah,
and
very Blade Runner.
Yeah. And like people dress in strange ways. And there's just all of this like mysterious technology. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, whereas the further out you go, the more it's like, okay, so there's like things that are automated, but it all seems to be working for the people. The more you get towards the center, it's like, wait a minute, did like the algorithm come alive and is now like controlling the execs? Is that the deep, dark secret at the heart of this? That they are no longer working for Google. Google is controlling them.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, it can be like there's, you know, sort of a moment near the climax where a switch gets flipped and suddenly everyone in this massive city, like their eyes go red or blue or whatever, like the color of the logo of this company is. And suddenly they're all adversaries. And, you know, there's probably a button that can be smashed in a heroic fashion to free them from this mind control. But I'm all for mind control.
And this may be too close to home, but potentially for fuel for this idea. I think it's a documented fact that Google, the actual Google, has participated in programs like Prism in the United States and around the world, where it's, you know, sort of like information gathering in the name of, you know, security and protection against terrorism, but actually, you know, sort of is just straight up surveillance on everybody.
Sure.
And so like I feel like that is like part of the going in deeper. It's just like, but wait, we don't have a warrant for that. They're like, where we're going, we don't need warrants.
Right. And, you know, and it is very clear that, you know, new Google City or whatever the metropolis is called is the algorithm's test run on whether it can take over the continental United States or whatever. Like, you know, it becomes clear that...
But Gabrielle, we don't have to take over what we already run.
Exactly, baby.
Exactly, yeah.
That's right.
No, preserve the fiction.
Yeah. There's all kinds of leashes in the world. Some are very obvious, some are very subtle.
So our investigative journalist who is working to uncover this conspiracy...
The truth. It's out there.
Yeah. They have to have some cohorts who are helping them or some relationships that are compromised because their, you know, friend or brother or significant other is like in level 4 of this city or something.
Yeah. And I think that they like go in with someone, like they go in as a pair. Yeah. And the first person ends up kind of like they make it to level 1, they maybe make it to level 2. And then after that, they're like, no, fuck this. This is too much. I'm staying here.
It's too dangerous.
So that there is kind of someone that she can communicate with in some way.
Right.
Because I don't think that she'll be able to talk to like her editor back in Manhattan or wherever it is that she works. I think that that would be cut off.
Right.
And yeah, and I think that you're very clever, Sarah, that she would be looking for someone that is somewhere in the upper levels, that she would be trying to find a brother, a cousin, an ex-partner,
partner of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's real clever.
And yeah, so that gives it some stakes for, you know, does destroying this system also destroy this person that they care about? Could the evil overlords give them the option of freeing the person in exchange for their silence?
Yeah.
And that's time.
Oh, what a cliffhanger. What a cliffhanger.
Yeah. No, this seems like a serial with lots of cliffhangers built into it.
Well, goddamn. I'm excited for season 1, Netflix.
What would it be called? We need a good title for it.
Well, so if the company's name was, say, Radar, it could be Into the Radar.
Hmm. You don't want to call it like the Z Files? It could have a very original catchphrase.
Oh, so
the truth
original.
Is in there. You see what I did?
Yes,
you
see, yes.
You see how I artfully dodged that lawsuit?
You also inadvertently referenced another franchise, and that's not just X-Files, but there's some children's book series that's like the Zach Files or something. That's like this kind of nerdy kid that like does sleuthing or something. I forget exactly.
Yeah, I kind of want to build the city into it, like the city keeps going, or the city's secrets or something like that, but we'll workshop it.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
very, very good. I'm very excited for this imminent dominating franchise in the media ecosystem, only to be bought and taken off the air, not by Google. Let's say Schmoogle. We love you, Google. Don't sue us.
And on that encouraging note, we will hopefully be back next week with more bad ideas.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabriel Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.